91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. This afternoon, we discuss the captivating Wynwood area in the city of Miami. Once a somewhat blighted zone, it's become a focal point for arts, design, and technology in the past decade or so. Good afternoon, it's Bonnie Berman with Joseph Cooper. It's a truism that inexpensive properties draw artists and unique stores to an area. It may then take on a cachet, gain upscale businesses, and become gentrified. The struggling artists, meanwhile, are priced out. It happened on South Beach. Is Wynwood headed in the same path? We've assembled an arts concern panel to address the issue and discuss Wynwood's past, present, and future. Of course, we'll also take your calls. That's next, Miami's Wynwood, after the news.
And 7 minutes past 1 o'clock, it is today's Topical Currents, Monday edition. Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman.
And we want to just take a moment to thank everybody that made our
membership
campaign successful and all your support.
Topical Currents made a good showing.
A good dent.
We're very proud of that.
Yes. So thank you so much. So today we discuss one of the most intriguing areas in South Florida, Wynwood. It's just north of downtown Miami to the west of US 1 and sort of near the Midtown Miami Shopping Center.
In past year, Wynwood has been a noted center for the arts, cool restaurants, and graffiti-swirled buildings. But is change in the making? Well, we have a panel to explore that.
First, it's Ricardo Moore, Programs Coordinator and Curator of the Miami Center for Architecture and Design. Also, he's a frequent Miami Herald op-ed columnist. Welcome to you, Ricardo.
Thank you for having me.
And also with us is Mindy Solomon, the owner of the Mindy Solomon Gallery. It was formerly in Wynwood and has now moved to Little Haiti. Welcome to you, Mindy Solomon.
Thank you.
Also on the panel is Monica Lopez de Victoria. She and sister Tasha compose a Miami-based duo, the TM Sisters. They're a collaborative duo. They specialize in multimedia works, videos, events, and performances. And also Monica resides in Wynwood. Welcome to you.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And we also have another guest. She's Tyler Emerson Dorsch, who co-partners with husband Brooke Dorsch in the Emerson Dorsch Gallery.
It was a staple in the Wynwood art scene for many years, but is now relocating also to the Little Haiti area. Welcome to you, Tyler.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Okay, good to have you. So, Ricardo, let's start with you. Why don't we just do a brief overview of the history of Wynwood before it became an arts district and then when it became an arts district?
Right. So Wynwood, more or less, when people talk about Wynwood now, they talk about the Arts District. That was formed in about the early 2000s, more or less. Before that, it used to be an industrial neighborhood, you know, light industrial. It used to be known as the Fashion District. And it also used to be known as Little San Juan because of a very high Puerto Rican population in that area. And now, and so in the early 2000s, a lot of galleries started noticing, you know, started moving to that area because there was affordable warehouse space to be had, affordable studio space to be had for artists. And a lot of developers like Tony Goldman from Goldman Properties began transforming the neighborhood into an arts district. And today it's, you know, it's vastly changed. Before it used to be there was a lot of crime in the area. Now it's an epicenter for culture and dining and entertainment.
I remember not that long ago going to the gallery nights in Wynwood, and people's car windows were getting broken and their cars were getting broken into, and it wasn't that long ago.
Mm-hmm. Right, it's just a few years ago. Even now, there's still pockets of Wynwood that can be very sketchy. But it's, you know, it's changed a lot. You know, now you have Warby Parker and Aesop in the neighborhood, so it's definitely cultivated a cool niche that a lot of developers and businesses are attracted to.
So are there still working artists in the area?
I would say no. I would say that a lot of artists have moved out of the neighborhood for quite some time. for recently, a lot of the gallerists were still there in that neighborhood, but it seems that the winds are sort of changing in that area. You know, a lot of the major galleries like David Castillo and
Fred Snitzer.
Yeah, Fred Snitzer have recently moved out, as have Mindy Solomon and Tyler Emerson, Emerson Dorsch Gallery, and a few others, because, you know, it's sort of changed into a more of a nightlife district, more of a entertainment district.
Tyler, you were an early member of the Wynwood Arts District. What attracted you to the neighborhood? You went there when, 17 years ago?
Well, my husband founded the gallery in 1991. At that date, it was in the Rhodes on Coral Way, and he moved the gallery to the Wynwood location in 2000 when he bought that building the same month that Marty Margulies bought his building. At the time, there was nothing else there except for a small artist-run space known as Locust Projects. The Rebels had their building on 29th Street, but it was for storage. They weren't open to the public. Brooke and another gallerist, Nina Arias, got together to start the Wynwood Arts District. And at the time, the collections were part of the effort to try and make a map of the neighborhood and encourage people to come. It took collective action to get people to start coming. So it was the second Saturday is what they started.
Right.
And the maps were all fuchsia with a manhole cover. And it was incredible because in the space of time from that first map to, which was just a single fold map with like maybe 10 spaces listed on it, if that, 5 years later, we had to get together to do a much larger map there were more than 50 galleries.
Well, let me ask you, you departed from Wynwood, but you owned your building. Unlike, you know, the artists who are renting space or the galleries that are renting space, you actually owned yours. What made you decide to leave?
Well, part of it was just what Ricky said, that the sort of vibe of the area was a little different. We could have decided to stay. It would have been all right. But
In fact, your husband really said that he would never leave.
I know. Well, the thing is that the tides of the real estate market in the area meant that by selling our building, there were people knocking on our door for a year to ask if we were selling.
With a lot of profit, I suppose.
There was some. But the thing is, all right, so you sell at the top of the market, then you have to buy at the top of the market. So, you know, there's always decisions, right, that you make and those can help fund what it is that you want to do. In our case, we want to run a gallery program that's challenging, and we need a way to support that.
This sounds very similar to Lincoln Road in late 80s and early 90s, doesn't it, Donna?
Well, yeah. The South Florida Art Center, I moved there in the 80s. What Ellie Schneiderman did, though, which was different also, is that she bought those buildings. They were not. She actually bought them. So when Lincoln Road changed, she had to, again, she was in the position to sell them. And they still had a presence there until recently, and now they're completely gone from Lincoln Road. Well, it's called Art Center South Florida now.
I think they have a footprint there still. It's a smaller building. They sold their building that's really well known for the gallery on the corner.
Right.
That one has sold. The one next to Michigan. Lucky Jeans, that one they still have. So it's just still some studios, right? But it's less visible. I'd say that they're just biding their time to make sure that they make the right decision with, you know, their much larger endowment now.
I'd like to hear more from Mindy Solomon about her decisions.
My decisions.
What prompted
them? Moved there just 2 years ago.
I had had a gallery in St. Petersburg, Florida for 4 years, and, I had someone that was, and at that time I owned that space, and I was sort of incubating there the next iteration of a kind of art renaissance or new renaissance for them. But I had someone that was also eager to purchase the space, and candidly, I had not been particularly happy there simply because I felt like I was kind of a lone wolf, and I like having colleagues to work with. So I had an offer. I sold the space and I said, okay, where can I go? So I decided that Miami would be a good solution because my family was still on the west coast of Florida. And I wanted to be in an environment where there were other galleries and colleagues so we could work off each other and coordinate openings and so forth. I signed a 2-year lease for the space because I really wasn't sure how I was going to feel about the whole experience of being here. And in the second year, my landlord was being a bit cagey about whether I was going to get an opportunity to re-sign. And at the same time, I was feeling like the traffic and the energy of the neighborhood really wasn't what I wanted for my business.
How so?
Well, there wasn't a lot of foot traffic and certainly not a lot of qualitative foot traffic.
So Northwest 2nd Avenue?
Yeah, it was right across from Brooke and Tyler. I felt like people, while they seemed informed about art, it was also very much a form of entertainment. Like, let's hit the galleries first and then go get a drink or have dinner or whatever.
Or both, because a lot of the galleries were serving champagne and wine and whatever.
And then one night, I don't remember what the event was, but one night after I closed the gallery, my husband and daughter were with me, and there was a frozen ice cream truck that was dipping ice cream into melted chocolate, and right next to it was a bounce house. And I said, this isn't a gallery district. This is a Carnival Midway. This isn't what I want. So the combination of the cagey landlord that said, we're not necessarily going to write you a lease, and if we do, it's going to be a lot more expensive, and feeling like it just didn't make sense to be there anymore prompted me to research other areas.
And why did you, what attracted you to Little Haiti?
Candidly, the cost and the size of the space enabled me to have a lot more opportunity to really focus on the gallery program and to do the kind of exhibits that I could expand on.
We need to take a short break. We're talking about Wynwood. We're speaking with, that was Mindy Solomon from Mindy Solomon Gallery. Also with us, Tyler Emerson Dorsch from the Emerson Dorsch Gallery. Ricardo Moore is curator and programs coordinator for the Miami Center for Design and Architecture. And we'll hear from Monica Lopez de Victoria. She's an artist with her sister Tasha, the TM Sisters. Short break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Monday's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. We're talking about the Wynwood, well, once arts district. We're speaking about Wynwood with Ricardo Moore, curator and programs coordinator for the Miami Center for Architecture and Design, Mindy Solomon from the Mindy Solomon Garden Gallery, Tyler Emerson Dorsch from the Emerson Dorsch Gallery, who she owns with her husband, Brooke Dorsch, and Monica Lopez de Victoria is an artist. With her sister, they form the TM sister, the TM sisters, Tasha Lopez de Victoria. Okay, Monica, tell us about your work.
Hi, yes. Well, I work with my sister, and we do multimedia performances and experiences and installations, collages and sculptures, etc. And we've been working and, I guess, formulating projects and happenings and concerts we were doing it in Wynwood since about 2000.
And was that largely responsible for your success, Wynwood?
I mean,
did that facilitate, at least it gave you a place?
Yes, definitely. We were able to get, through like Lombardi Properties and some of the other people, we were able to get raw spaces back then for free to do whatever we wanted to do and make
raw spaces, meaning unoccupied.
Yeah, unoccupied buildings. And there was a lot back then, and it was very dangerous, but very exciting as well. And so we were able to invite a lot of other creators to come and collaborate, and we would just take over the buildings and create things to, you know, like, almost like venues for people to go to, because there was nothing back then. And then Rocket Projects happened with Nina Arias, as Tyler mentioned, as well as Locust was there, and Brooke Dorsch.
So what are you doing now? Where you're living still in Wynwood?
Yes, I've bounced around a little bit around Wynwood. At some moment, I lived with in the back of Emerson Dorsch Gallery as well, and that was exciting. But our studio has been in downtown because we got pushed out of the neighborhood a long time ago.
Pushed out? What does that mean?
I mean, the price wise. We can't, you know, artists could not afford it.
You mean to rent space for your performances?
Or studio space, yes. It just started many years ago, about 5 years ago probably, or six. It was not affordable.
Ricardo, what do you think arts mean to a community? I don't mean just its vitality and its culture, but economically.
Yes, I've written about how the arts can have a big impact economically. You know, there's of course, you know, the jobs that, you know, a space can create within itself, but it also attracts a lot of other business in the area. So, you know, like you said earlier, you know, you go to a gallery and you tend to go to, you know, to dinner or to go shopping or to, you know, or you pay for parking. You know, there's a lot of different means of a business that comes along with running a space. And even though, you know, people think about, you know, the arts generally as a nonprofit through the nonprofit sector, which I'm a part of, but, you know, that's also the for-profit sector. You know, the gallerists are a huge part of that. You know, they offer their spaces to showcase art for free, and, you know, the entry is free. You know, people go on gallery nights to it, and it's a, they become little hubs for conversation just as much as the nonprofit art spaces as well. So, but it's a huge part of the community. You know, it's a billion-dollar industry in South Florida. So you can't deny that it has an economic impact. And few would say that the arts hasn't had an impact on Miami. I think it's been a huge part of what has become, why Miami has become a cultural capital.
So I'm sorry. How has the residential profile of Wynwood changed, say, since 2000?
Well, it hasn't really changed that much, honestly. You know, there isn't, you know, a lot of the zoning has been prohibitive to, a lot of it's been zoned to light industrial, so you can really build more than what it has already existed. But it's since changed. You know, they've redeveloped, Plus Urbia designed a Wynwood 2.0, as they say, a new zoning plan for Wynwood that's going to bring more housing density to the area. So that shows promise for, you know, for the density and to making it more of a walkable urban community. So, but it hasn't changed a lot in the past 15 years or so.
So what are the rents like there now? I mean, if nobody can afford the space for their art, Monica, how do you afford to live there?
Well, I live in the neighborhood that just is outskirting the nightlife area now. And so it's still, that's affordable as far as house, you know, to share with other artists. I live basically one block away from kind of officially the district. But, I mean, that's a housing situation. So it's very different than...
For those who haven't visited in our listening area, what is the area which you could call the nightlife area? Say it's on Northwest 2nd Avenue and...
Yeah, and between 29th Street and 20th Street as well. And from, northeast, I guess, North Miami Ave, and it's now beyond Northwest 2nd.
Is there anything being done by anybody? I mean, other than the Rubels and the Margulies collections... is there anything being done to proactively stop the movement out of the galleries and the artists? I mean, is there anything that's happening to prevent this from happening?
I don't believe so. I mean, I think that Miami's embracing this, which is good. It's the next kind of, I mean, I've compared it to almost like, you know, from the previous movement of almost Coconut Grove, how that had a lot of artists and creators and musicians, and now it's, you know, very much known as this social nightlife place, mm-hmm. or restaurant area, walkable area. And so I see this as kind of like our generation's version of that. It's transitioning into that idea.
Our telephone number, if you'd like to join in, we're talking about the Wynwood area, part of the city of Miami. The number 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-9576. Also email radio at WLRN.org.
Perhaps you're an artist or a gallery owner still based in Wynwood, or perhaps you left. Maybe you want to tell us why and where you went. And I guess we could also talk about the plight of artists in general. Ricardo, what is it that you're doing now? What is the Miami Center for Architecture and Design?
Well, so we're a nonprofit that's based in downtown, and we curate programs that are related to architecture and design, but we've sort of expanded our programming to also include arts whose is in discussion with architecture and design and the greater issues. So it could be about displacement, it could be about, you know, sea level rise, it can be about urbanism. There's a lot of different programs that we do at the center. And, you know, we've worked with artists quite often. And, you know, one of the artists that we're working with right now at the center is Layden Rodriguez Casanova, who is the founder of Dimensions Variable. And Dimensions Variable was part of Downtown Art House, which is where Monica had her studio space. And, you know, they're being displaced by their, because of the Miami World Center decided to give them free rent for 2 or 3 years and have since, you know, decided that they're going to move forward with their plans to build a massive urban complex.
Well, I wouldn't say it's free, but it's definitely subsidized.
Mindy and Tyler, I suppose the community leaders, so to speak, in Little Haiti are thrilled to have your galleries.
Mindy? Tyler, you're not there yet, right?
I'm not there yet.
Okay.
I think that, you know, I'm trying to be very respectful of this new neighborhood that I'm in, which I really like, but it's a different experience for me because it's very different culturally. I mean, there's a church across the street. There's one right next to me. There's a combination car wash, beauty shop, chicken restaurant, and chickens walking in the back of the gallery.
A lot of those.
It feels very different, and I don't want my neighbors to think that I am not welcoming to them because it's new for them what I'm doing. And I also don't want them to feel threatened because, you know, as Monica was saying, there's a pattern. There's a pattern of artists and arts businesses coming in. And
our rents may be going up at
right.
some point.
Gentrification,
exactly.
Flipping properties, people deemed as undesirable being forced to move out. I've already read articles about it.
In Little Haiti.
Yeah. And, you know, it's you know, the big question is there a way to bring culture and gentrification that will be beneficial to all people that are living in the community without forcing them to have to leave?
Right.
So I'm very mindful of that. And I love the fact that it will be, at this point anyway, primarily an arts destination. But, you know, then I get anxious. Is it also going to turn into nightclubs and that
kind of
stuff?
Well, it took a pretty long time in Wynwood. It wasn't overnight, you know.
Well, when you think about the residents, though, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a pretty old and tired story. You know, the artists move in, and this is what happens. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's
the
not
land
just
values
Miami
go up.
Either.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's everywhere. I was living in New York in the 70s when Soho was still an artist Mecca, you know,
uh-huh.
and watched it change. And no, it's always this way. But so what, you know, because in the residents of Little Haiti, you know, even though it took a long time for this to happen, how can they be reassured that it won't happen? That
it might happen. But in the meantime, I think that arts organizations have an opportunity or a chance to connect with a new community.
Yeah.
And I hope that we'll take advantage of that and maybe also find new ways of working together.
I also think there's a bigger conversation beyond Wynwood that I want to interject, which is the sort of post-Basel. What happens now with arts in general?
It's last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. in terms of how do we keep the momentum going with this massive turnout of people from all over Miami that come to experience the kind of shopping mall art fairs and then disappear again till next year, while there's wonderful talent, the TM Sisters and all the other multitude of artists and cultural institutions that we see, and it's always the same wonderful artist community and same 50 people that seem to show up at everything. And I think that obviously programs like this are really important to inform the public and educate them about all of the opportunities, but the transition in Wynwood doesn't happen in a vacuum. I mean, it's, you know, the people speaking about what they prefer or what they don't understand about the visual arts that turn things into entertainment complexes instead of focusing on the message of art as something important to support and to know about.
Right. That's Mindy Solomon. She's the owner of the Mindy Solomon Gallery, now in Little Haiti. Also with us, Tyler Emerson Dorsch from the Emerson Dorsch Gallery. Ricardo Moore is curator and programs director for the Miami Center for Architecture and Design, or MCAD,
yes.
Is that the name of it? Okay.
Yes.
And Monica Lopez de Victoria is part of the duo of the TM Sisters, along with her sister Tasha. A short break, we'll be right back.
Here come the artists with their intense faces, with their need for money and quiet spaces. They leave New York, they leave L.A. Here they are, who knows how long they'll stay. It's a boom town, got another boom town. And it'll boom just as long as the boom has room. Here come the tourists with their blank stares, with their fanny packs, they're penny millionaires. Something interesting happened here long ago. Now where people used to live their lives, the restless come and go. And it's a boom town, got another boom town. It'll boom just as long as the boom has room.
One more verse.
The guy from California moves in and relaxes. The natives have to move, they cannot pay the taxes. Santa Fe has had it, Sedona has too. Maybe you'll be lucky, maybe your town will be the new boomtown, got another boomtown. It'll boom just as long as the boom has room. It's a boomtown.
Maybe Ogis is next.
Well, could be. That's Greg Brown singing Boomtown. Thanks to Michael Stock for that little offering. So, Wynwood, the next Boomtown.
That song was definitely appropriate.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. What were you going to say, Tyler? You were saying something during the music.
Oh, I was just saying that the lyrics made me nod all the way through.
Oh, okay. All right.
Our telephone number, if you'd like to join in, 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-9576. And email radio@wlrn.org.
Danielle has a good point. He says, public transportation. I live in Broward County, and I can't begin to tell you how many times I haven't attended events, and I can't, until this opens, see the rest of it. But that's...
You can't park.
You can't... Well... And
in Wynwood, the parking became a huge problem for, and our gallery in Wynwood, we had parking. But if people couldn't find parking outside of our little lot, they would just keep on going.
Yeah.
So. And Little Haiti?
In Little Haiti, our new building does have parking. We made sure of that.
And I have a lot of parking.
She has a lot of parking also.
Let's take a telephone call. James, he's in Miami. Hi there. James, you're up.
Hello. Hey, fantastic. Thank you all very much for taking the call. I just wanted to contribute a little bit of thought. I know that there has been some concern, at least in this conversation, on and kind of ensuring the purity of the artistry is kept while also taking on some of the expansion and the growth and the attraction of the locals. But just attending Art Basel recently, you know, that was what I consider a very commercialized event. The artistry was still there. The integrity and completeness was there. But as far as from a marketing, advertising standpoint and an entertainment standpoint, you know, you had DJs throughout the night, loud music, et cetera. It wasn't what you would expect from, you know, an art event. But lo and behold, you know, you still had a huge attraction there. Now, I moved from Orlando a few years ago and can tell you that there's an area in Orlando, Mills Avenue, that's almost a junior version of a Wynwood. You know, they're doing the same sort of thing with the street art. It's almost a replicate. So, you know, as far as some of the concerns I mentioned on the call, being able to maintain that integrity while also, you know, taking in that gentrification, you've seen it happen in Brooklyn and even Harlem, New York City, as that sort of growth occurs. The kind of contribution I wanted to add was that, you know, you sort of have to take the good with the bad and the bad with the good, because ultimately this, you know, this means economic growth and traction for the city. And we can only hope that it'll maintain its integrity and won't become over-commercialized. But like any sort of region, I guess, you know, whatever's going to get the art out there to the people. You did mention the sort of, you know, be able to kind of have that dualism there. Folks can go out and have a drink and have some dinner and then also go see a gallery. You know, the typical going to the gallery wasn't so much of a dreadful event, but it was something that you may not get someone who was into art or that was so much interested in the art to kind of come out, you know, and, oh, well, I'll go along and I'll have a drink and kind of see my friends and then maybe get them some exposure to the art. And, you know, I see a benefit in that.
Well, James, let's see what our guests have to say. Did you want to comment, Monica, first?
Well, I think it's a good point that a lot of other cities are kind of taking Wynwood as a model to other cities.
To not be or to be?
To be, because, and I think it's something we didn't talk about in this discussion yet, is the murals. You know, a lot of the designs that are going up, and it's what has brought a lot of attention to the district. And, you know, it had been started, I believe, as a project by Primary Flight. And it sort of just kind of grew and grew and grew. And it's interesting to see that a lot of other cities are really wanting to embrace that as, you know, art that's pretty much more approachable. And people can take selfies and, you know, continue to, I guess, take it into their lives.
And Mindy, did you want to say something?
Yeah, well, I mean, I agree with what the caller is saying about the ultimate benefits of broadening the exposure of the arts to a broader public. But I think one of the critical elements, and I'm an art teacher by education, mm-hmm. so I think that education is a huge part of the conversation, and with all the flash and dazzle and entertainment aspects that serve as economic drivers to motivate people to come into these areas, the true understanding or the time and consideration that it takes to really develop a sense of aesthetics and to kind of know your own sense of what you like and don't like gets lost in the shuffle. And that's a kind of more meaningful way to experience art, which is why I like being where I am now. Because if you're coming to see the show, you're really coming
to
see
the
show.
Ricardo?
Yeah, I was going to say that, you know, with regards to the commercialization, is that I don't think anyone has a problem with all these businesses that are building around the galleries. I think the problem is that there's an issue about, you know, long-term spaces for galleries and artists. You know, there has to be a sort of a balance, you know, with bringing business, but also retaining these artists and gallerists and not having them move every 5 or 10 years. You know, I have artist friends who move every year from their house, you know, because they have to, you know, they can't make the rent, or they're, you know, they've been pushed out of studios every 2 years. You know, it's very difficult to build a neighborhood when you're, you know, moving constantly. And I think there needs to be, you know, more permanent homes. And, you know, that could be in the form of, long-term housing for artists or long-term studio space for artists. You know, there's, you know, like South Florida Art Center has done in the past, and the Bakehouse Art Complex. You know, there's ways to do that. But unfortunately, there isn't enough to keep up with the growth.
Let's take another call. This is a Wynwood resident, Joha, is that correct? Hello, Joha.
Hey, I don't know. Yeah, is this you talking to me?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, my name is Sean.
Sean.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
That's okay. I was born in Miami. I've lived here my whole life. And I wanted to comment on some, first of all, the education thing is absolutely correct, but I don't know directly, but all I hear in the news is how the arts is constantly undermined in the public schools. So, of course, that's the primary, lead into getting art into children's lives and have that become a structure in their brain. So I don't know if that can be addressed over time. But it takes community involvement, parents complaining and saying, hey, what's going on here? We need this. But, less and less people maybe don't find that to be something they want in their lives. But the primary comment I want to make is I do live in Wynwood, and I live on the what I would call the outskirts of Wynwood. And I live on Northwest 34th Street and Northwest 3rd Avenue. And I bought a duplex in there. And I just want to comment about the benefits I find from Wynwood being, that part being gentrified. That really the only part I see that's been really gentrified is the business district. It's a shame that the industrial part moved out, but a lot of that was because of probably the treaties of NAFTA and CAFTA. And that disrupted, the ability for people to pay a wage for the t-shirt manufacturers and the garment manufacturers.
Mm-hmm.
But the residents that live around there, I don't feel the least bit. It's been a while that's been this way, but I don't feel the least bit. I mean, it's a nice walkable neighborhood. There's parts in there that don't look very nice. I mean, there's still properties in there that are just very dilapidated, et cetera, but. The people that still live there, they got a very great benefit from, I'm not saying they should be, praising everybody, but, it really has changed a very bad neighborhood into a very, a pretty nice neighborhood that, like the other, one of the ladies said, it's slowly progressing into a walkable surface streets with, I see new small businesses opening up all the time, little restaurants that aren't, super expensive. So, bravo to, artists to take the chance to move into these places. And, Little Haiti can use some help, too. So, I think there's a lot of good benefits to that. So
okay.
I'd like to hear your guys' comments.
Okay, Sean, thanks for calling. Ricardo, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, so I guess one of the reasons also, as I mentioned earlier, that there hasn't been as much as of the development as one would think because of the rapid change in the neighborhood was because of the zoning. And so now that they've implemented these new zoning laws, there's the development moving forward, it's going to be much more dense. And they wanted to make it into a Scandinavian-style living arrangement so that you have low-rise towards the northwest second corridor, and then it's going to get higher as it spans out towards
west.
We'll get into some of that after our break. Yeah. We have a caller on.
Okay, we're talking about Wynwood. We'll take that break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. We're speaking about Wynwood with Monica Lopez de Victoria, an artist, one of the TM sisters, along with her sister Tasha. Ricardo Moore is curator and programs coordinator for the Miami Center for Architecture and Design. And two gallery owners, Mindy Solomon and Tyler Emerson Dorsch. You just both, Mindy and Tyler, want to comment on Sean's call before...
I just wanted to thank Sean for calling in. It was a really great comment to hear. There was a man that lived across the street from the gallery in Wynwood, and he was 98 years old. And he was able to sell his house for a big windfall. And so I think those are pretty good stories.
Right. And Mindy, the education aspect of it?
Right. Well, I appreciate the fact that Sean talked about the need to continue advocacy for art education in the schools, and that art education component does develop into art appreciators, ultimately art philanthropists and art collectors, which mm-hmm. are economic drivers for all of these businesses and all the artists that we're talking about.
And we'll go back to our calls. This is Joe in Miami. Hi, Joe.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
Thank you. So, Joe first, so I'm chairman of the Wynwood Business Improvement District and manager director of Goldman Properties for our Wynwood portfolio. Some of the panelists are friends, but I thought it would be helpful to offer a little bit of a different perspective on the growth in the neighborhood. So to me, some of the galleries that have moved to Little Haiti, it's really a story of growth in the city of Miami. It's not like the only galleries that exist in the city are the ones that previously existed in Wynwood. I have four or five new galleries that have become tenants of ours in the Wynwood portfolio that I'm really excited to have. So it's not about the art being displaced from one area and going to another. It's really about arts and culture expanding through the city. Mm-hmm. As it relates to Wynwood, I have so many incredibly talented and creative tenants that are innovators across all different types of industries, whether it's food and beverage, whether it's art, whether it's media, design, et cetera. And I think what's really exciting about Wynwood is that it's appealed to this type of person, truly the creative class that wants to be around other like-minded and creative individuals. And we see tremendous success there. As it relates to zoning, which is something I'm really most excited about, being chairman of the Wynwood Business Improvement District, we're the group that's been ushering through the new zoning code. And what we've done is something that's very radical for the city of Miami. We actually downzoned height to go to a base building height for the most part of five stories. We've created a public benefits program whereby when people want to build to get to that 8-story or 12-story in certain situations, they pay into public benefits that get spent in the neighborhood. And we're the only district in the city of Miami that's now allocated 35% of all public benefit dollars to affordable and workforce housing. So we are putting sort of, you know, really the money where our mouths are in creating longer-term, appropriate, diverse housing stock for people of the city of Miami.
Okay, so Joe. Well, I was going to say, just stay with us and let's get some reaction.
Ricardo.
Right. Yeah, so Ricardo. Before the break, I was talking about how the zoning, I think, is a very positive impact on the neighborhood. That area, unfortunately, has been quite, still hasn't formed in the way that it should have because of the zoning sort of prevented it. And I do think that it will bring positive change in making an urban fabric, creating a more urban fabric in that area. There's still a lot of streets that are still not walkable, and I do think that we need more walkable, dense areas in the community. I do think, though, that a lot of the talk about Wynwood changing is that a lot of the long term, like Fred Snitzer and Emerson Dorsch, those are the long term tenants that have moved out, and they feel that the neighborhood's changed. I don't think anyone doubts that the Wynwood is changing. I think that, I think that the main issue is that it's not solely an arts district. It's more of like of a creative class center. Mm-hmm. I think that it's going to be where young urban professionals will want to live, but I don't think it's quite the arts district that people thought it was going to be is.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'll comment on that. I mean, I agree with you. So there's only a certain amount of space within the district. The district is large. I mean, by some extent, being effectively 9 blocks north-south and, 5 or 6 blocks east-west. But I really think when people enter the district, the type of diverse tenants and businesses that we have, including arts organizations, is unlike anywhere else in the city of Miami and frankly, unlike many of places in the country. And arts galleries, obviously, the expression of public art through street art and graffiti will always have a place in Wynwood, and it's part of the natural fabric and natural context that makes the place relevant in the first place.
Okay, Joe. Well, thank you so much for calling.
Yes, thank you.
We have an emailer, Chris, who has a really good point. He says, are the galleries that moved to Little Haiti making any effort to include art from the rich Haitian culture or recruit Haitian artists to use the galleries? That would go a long way to ease the possible tension of gentrification felt by the local community. Hmm. Mindy, you want to take that first?
That's a very good point, and that's something that I should definitely think about. I guess, each gallerist on some level is somewhat of a narcissist in the sense that we're all trying to curate the world as we see it. So for me, inviting an artist into my program is not going to be dependent on their cultural identity or their race or religion. It's more about the artwork itself. So if I feel that the work makes sense to where my curatorial perspective is at this time, then I'm completely open to it. But I'm not going to just invite someone to be part of the program simply because they make Haitian art or any other specific cultural art. I want to look at the artists beyond their culture to see the work that they create as individuals.
What kind of square footage does your gallery have?
3,000.
That's great. Tyler, did you want to comment on Chris's email?
Well, Mindy's response was very good. I think that there's already a really wonderful cultural organization in Little Haiti called the Little Haiti Cultural Center. Mm-hmm. And they've been doing amazing programming and representing. Mostly, I mean, I've just got to get on the ground. We only are just moving there.
Right, so you haven't even gotten there yet.
We just have to introduce ourselves.
Okay.
And we'll take another call. This is Maya in Miami Beach. Hi.
Hi. I don't know. This seems to be happening everywhere. I mean, I live on South Beach. I've been here 20 years. I grew up in New York City in the village where Bonnie was talking about, and this happening over and over again. And I don't know whether, I'm wondering whether it has anything to do with the rents because I don't know if Wynwood is like South Beach, but I know that I can see that the art center closed and then there's a lot of empty stores, and then when something does come in, it's usually either a big company that comes in, mm-hmm. you know, that a box company, or there's, I don't know, somehow, I mean, I think personally that two things are most important in a culture. One is education, like the other gentleman was speaking, and the other one is the arts.
Right.
And when we lose that touch or when we lose that focus, and each community doesn't have that as a kind of a thing that's there for them, something is missing or something is lost or something's gone. And for me, it's troubling and sad, and I wish all of you the best, and I hope that you're all working towards that because, I mean, it sounds very positive, and I want it to be. So just, that's all I have to say.
Okay, Maya, thanks for calling. Ricardo?
Thank you.
Quickly.
Although the rents is probably the biggest issue why there's been this displacement. You know, the South Florida Arts Center sold their building for $88 million
which, right.
because the South Beach prices have gone exponentially up. And in Wynwood, the last time that I checked, the rent per square foot per year is about on par with what Miracle Mile is right now. And Miracle Mile is a long...
Which is?
I think about $30 a square foot, roughly average, more or less, a year.
When I was at the Arts Center in 1990, it was $9 a square foot mm-hmm. for the artists.
Well, we have to go.
We have to go.
A lot
okay.
of callers we can't get to.
A lot
sorry.
Of callers and a lot of input we'd like. But Ricardo Moore, a curator, programs coordinator for the Miami Center for Architecture and Design and an op-ed columnist and arts feature contributor for the Miami Herald. Contact information, Ricardo?
rmor.news@gmail.com.
Okay, Mindy Solomon of the Mindy Solomon Gallery. Contact information and new address?
The address is 8397 Northeast 2nd Avenue, and my email is info@mindysolomon.com.
Okay, and Monica Lopez de Victoria, one of the TM sisters?
info@tmsisters.com.
Okay, and Tyler Emerson Dorsch. Your gallery should be open...
We're hoping for spring of next year.
And where will it be?
5900 Northwest 2nd Avenue.
Great. Okay, well, thank you all so much for being with us today.
And thanks for tuning in this hour. Again, apologies to those callers we couldn't get to. Our producer is Richard Ive, technical direction from online producer Paul Leary, and we have free audio downloads of this and previous programs at our website. That's WLRN.org. Also, check out the Topical Currents Facebook page for additional links and photos. Drop us a like there if you would. So join us for tomorrow's program when we're at your service with our quarterly South Florida Gardening Call-In Program. We'll have experts on hand to take calls and give gardening tips for our unique subtropical winter months.
And Christmas trees, right?
How to keep them alive. Or alive, more alive. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, stay tuned for Here and Now next from NPR News.